Welcome to the Homeschool Counseling Network podcast, brought to you by the homeschoolcounselingnetwork.com, a website devoted to connecting homeschooling families with free resources in the areas of academic advising, counseling, testing, therapy, and tutoring to inspire, inform, and improve lives. In this podcast series, we chat with professionals in education, mental health, professional coaching, and therapy to help families on their home education journey. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our show. My name is Kimberly Bennett, and I am your host. If you're new here, welcome. Thanks for giving us a listen. A little bit about me. I am a licensed professional counselor of over 20 years, and I have been a homeschooling mom for 5 of those years. I am also an advocate for mental health and homeschooling children with learning differences. For more of my story and background, feel free to listen to episode 1 or check out my website at thehomeschoolcounselingnetwork.com. Disclaimer. While I am a licensed mental health professional, the content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered educational, medical, mental health, or therapy advice. This podcast is not intended to replace professional medical advice. The views expressed in this podcast may not be those of the host or the management. The presenter is simply presenting their views and welcomes any comments, suggestions, or correction of errors. Hello and welcome to the Homeschool Counseling Network podcast. Today I have in studio Katie J. Trent. You might recognize Katie because she has been on shows from our sister channel, It's Only Homeschooling, where we talked about her first 2 devotionals, the first one, Dishing Up Devotions. If you want to hold that up for our viewers, Katie, and for those of you who are watching, Dishing Up Devotions. Her second devotional, we also talked about that, Recipes for a Sweet Child. And I'll put some links to those podcasts below as well, but we also recently had Katie on as for our feature for our Bibliotherapy Book Club feature for December with her latest. Yes, Katie writes a lot. It is her strength, and it is definitely her gift. Her last book was A Merry and Bright Adventure, a Christmas devotional for family, faith, food, and fun. Katie is here with us today as our guest to talk about. She's a social worker. She's a Pinterest dropout. She has a ministry, and she pours, helps other families disciple their children through her Family Faith Building Academy. Katie, thank you so much for coming back in studio today.
Oh, Kimberly, it's my honor. I so love what you're doing here. It's so, so important.
Well, we are very grateful to have you here today. We need a little more help in the homeschooling community where we can feel free to talk about the harder topics, if you will. Discipling your children is definitely a difficult topic for some and an important one as well, but mental health is as well. And as joyous and wonderful as the holiday season can be, it can also be a difficult season. We're busy, we're doing so many different things, we're pulled in so many different directions. Sometimes even the excitement that we have can cross over that line a little bit into overwhelm. So what advice do you have for parents who might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed at the holidays?
Oh, we could talk about this for hours because there's so much. But I would say a couple tips to just really help you are, first off, take a step back and take a deep breath and recognize that we don't have to compete with anyone. We don't have to keep up with anyone. And sometimes we get so caught up in trying to do all the things that we miss out on doing the best things. And so for our family, we've been there. And one of the things that has really helped us over the years is we start off the holiday season and we create a family bucket list. So we sit down together and we say, what is the most important thing that matters to you? What activity or event or thing do you want to do so that instead of trying to do all the things, we're just doing the most important things. And so we create that list together. You know, maybe somebody wanted to make sure we do holiday lights display. Another kid might want to do a hot cocoa bar. You know, there's just different things. Mm-hmm. And so we brainstorm together what we want to make sure that we get to during that holiday season. And then we check it off as we go. And so that helps a lot with prioritizing. And then I think, you know, practical things like my husband and I, we use our phones and we have a digital calendar that we're putting on real time events. So we're not double booking ourselves and we can visually see what is our limit. And we talk about at the beginning, like, what is a limit? For me, I love people, but I get peopled out. And so I need downtime. I need quiet time away from people. I'm the only introvert in a family of extroverts. And so we have to build in that time for me to have that space. So sometimes it's that, you know, my husband and kids go off to an event and I stay home. Other times it's just that we say no to things because we've already got something else in the week. So we try to balance our time in that way to have enough time at home and enough time out doing those things. So I think realistic expectations and communication is really important, because if I didn't communicate to my family that, then they wouldn't understand and I wouldn't get my needs met and they would not get theirs. And so talking to your family about what's realistic, maybe it's that the budget is really tight this year. And so it's going to look different for you than it has in previous years. I found that just having an open and honest conversation of, hey, it's going to look a little different, or our budget's a little tighter, or, you know, we're focusing on X, Y, or Z instead of this. So communication, and then making sure that you just know that less is always better. Less is more. Mm. And so if you do just a couple quality things with your kids, with your family, you're going to enjoy that so much more than trying to get to every holiday party and every work party and every elephant gift exchange and all the things. So don't be afraid to set boundaries and say no. This was something too that we did early on when we had children, and it was really hard for both of our families because both of our families kind of had these expectations of what they do for holidays, and they expected, you know, you're just going to rotate Thanksgiving and Christmas and it's going to look this way and we all do it, so you should too. And as we had prayed before we had kids, God gave us something very different. He told us that we were supposed to make our little family the center of what we were doing for traditions. And we didn't understand it fully at the time, but looking now, I mean, we've been in 3 states and 6 cities, and, you know, my kids have been in a different home almost every year of their life. And so if we hadn't obeyed God and done that and done things differently, it would have been really hard for them as we'd made those moves, but they had those family traditions to hold on to. And so I think taking time with the Lord and saying, God, help me understand what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing, and really allowing him to guide those decisions. I always say, let your peace guide you. You know, if you are anxious, if you are stressed out, if you don't have peace, it's not worth it. And so, you know, we fought some resistance for a few years with that, but everyone came to understand and accept it. And we have enjoyed our holidays so much more just by setting some of those boundaries and really saying, you know, less is more.
I completely agree with you and echo you on so many different things that you shared there. Definitely quality over quantity. And yes, in the first beginning, grandparents are excited when grandbabies are born. And of course, they want you there. But yes, even living, you've moved a lot. We live, you know, 3 states away from our families. And even though our families are in the same hometown, it's hard coming to that conversation with setting that boundary of, this is what is going to look best for our family. And yeah, you're going to be met with some resistance from that, but you have to kind of stay firm and stay the course is what I'm hearing you say. And yeah, in all honesty, as a counselor and as a social worker, you and I both know that usually the ones who need the boundaries the most are going to be the ones who challenge them the most. So it is setting them and maintaining them. They're hard and they may be an ongoing challenge, but when you find your peace and when God gives you that bit of wisdom, yeah, hold on to it. Hold on to it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's definitely one thing. What about if you're homeschooling at the holidays too? How do you handle kind of that overwhelm when that's thrown in with the mix?
Personally, I really like focusing on what many people term Christmas schooling. So just shifting what you're doing, you know, we can sometimes get so stuck in the rut of thinking that homeschooling needs to look like school at home. And so we think that we have to do the curriculum and we have to keep that same academic rigorous pace as what maybe we're doing at other times, instead of understanding that focusing on these different traditions and fun things that we're doing together at the holidays, that's some of the best learning experiences that they can have. And that change of pace can really bring so much. We've had some of our best discussions. We've had some of our best activities. I've seen creativity and things birthed in my kids just from taking time. So I would say focus on enjoying time together. Build into your schedule the things that you're doing for the holidays and plan that out, and then sprinkle in the other things around it. You know, we might read a Christmas story aloud instead of doing what we were doing before, or we do some crafts and different things, or we do, you know, baking. We happen to deliver treats to our neighbors the last couple of years. Oh, and so we took several days of baking and just sharing the good news of Jesus and loving on our neighbors. And that was our homeschool for the day, right? Because when you're baking, you're reading, you're doing math, you're problem solving, you're doing science and looking at the chemistry makeup of things. You know, you really can incorporate, you know, if you're studying different places or traditions, that's your social studies, the history of it, geography of it. Where did this originate? So you can do all of those things and count all of that toward your homeschool very easily. Or for us, we homeschool year round. And so we purposely don't worry about counting the activities during that set time to meet our 180-day requirement. We try and filter that out so we have fewer days to count. Not because I couldn't count them. I just don't want to have to sit down at my planner and think about writing out what we did. So I think there's a lot of ways that you can do that.
Absolutely. And I think something you touched on there too is in Texas, we're very hands-off. So what we don't have to keep the same kind of requirements that you do in South Carolina, but it's, you don't have to have that extra added pressure. There's ways around it. You can get very creative with the ways around it. And again, what one thing that I also heard in the sure, you can make it a unit study with these wonderful devotionals. Absolutely, you can consider it a unit study. But also what I heard was caring for others. Sometimes when we stop and take that focus off of ourselves for just a minute, we can step outside of ourselves and we can check on that neighbor by delivering them some treats who maybe their family couldn't visit that year because they were setting their own boundaries too. But it doesn't mean that we can't also check on other people in the community and pour into the community. Sometimes we can, when we make that shift and take that focus off of ourselves, it does so much for our spirit and for pouring into us. That's discipleship as well. And
absolutely,
that's another way to sort of fill you up. So that's what I heard too. Yeah. I was like, that's character building right there.
And in a Merry and Bright Adventure, we cover that. So I actually have a homeschool adventure guide in there where I give you ideas for how to use just that book if you're wanting that to be your homeschooling for the month of December. So I have all those activities. And then we even have a free bundle that you can print that you'll find when you purchase the book. And that has got a lot of freebies as well. I have what we call a homeschool adventure guide. And that has got, you know, like your scriptures that you can do copy work. It's got unit studies, notebooking pages, like all sorts of different ways for you to utilize that book just for your holiday schooling.
There you go. There you go. And
a lot of those are more altruistic activities. So there's a lot in there to really help you become the hands and feet of Jesus and focus on others during the holiday season of how can we share the gospel? And you're doing that through like sending cards and baking treats and delivering them, you know, to the homeless or to senior citizen centers or all sorts of ways where you can really say there are ways to focus on others instead of just ourselves.
Which is such an important point too at the holidays, because so much of the excess can be so much more, and it's just so much more, and it's also just so much more stress, which in turn can contribute to the overwhelm that we were talking about earlier. And, you know, as beautiful and as wonderful as this is and all of those ideas are, there are still some people at the holidays that the holidays are not a joyous occasion. What would you say to listeners who might be experiencing something like that at the holidays? Some people get very sad at the holidays. And what if their overwhelm is more than just overwhelm? Typical.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing you need to know is that you are not alone. And I'm going to say that again. you are not alone, because the enemy wants us to believe that we're isolated, that the problem's within ourselves, and it causes us to withdraw from people and to hide that we're struggling instead of being open up front. So I think the first thing, you know, when you expose something to the light, the darkness flees. And so the first step really is just acknowledging that you're struggling. So for example, when I had my first baby, I struggled with postpartum depression. And because I'm got a counseling background, right? Because I've got a social work background, I knew the symptoms. I knew exactly what was happening. And I was just very honest with my husband. I said, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. These are the symptoms I'm experiencing. This is what's happening. This is what I need from you. So I think first off, looking at saying, who around you can you share that with? Do you have a spouse? Do you have a parent? Do you have a friend or a neighbor or a pastor, someone at church that you can just partner with? I let people know if I'm struggling, hey, I need some extra prayer, or I'm really having a difficult time. So reaching out is so important when you're struggling, knowing that you're not alone. There are so many resources available that I think sometimes we forget about, or we're too ashamed to reach out for. But there's counseling, there's books, there's support groups. There are, I mean, literally so many different options and opportunities to get that need. And some of it is just acknowledging, what is it? So for some people, it's that seasonal affective disorder, right? It's because it's been dark and gloomy, and that's really hard. So maybe you need to go to a tanning bed. Maybe you just need some extra vitamin D. Like maybe there's some things that you can do there. Maybe you're struggling with grief, right? Because you've lost a loved one. And it is so hard, especially in the early years of experiencing holidays after the loss of a loved one. That is a very real thing. And so acknowledging that grief and saying, how can I get through this? I encourage you, if you have friends, and I guarantee we all have friends, reaching out to those friends who've lost somebody in that year or the year before. You know, they might need groceries delivered to their doorstep so they don't have to worry about that. They might need you to take their kids to a holiday party so that they don't have to put on a fake smile and try to get through something. They might need to do less of the external activities for some people, right? Sometimes that can be overwhelming. But for other people, they might need that. That might be exactly what they need, is to be around people. And so remember that we can't see inside of you. So you've got to be able to share what's inside of you with someone else. Hey, this is going to be really hard. These are the things you could do to help, or these are the things to look for. And it takes some self-awareness. And if you're not there, see a counselor. They can help you to identify some of those things. But know that it's very common and you're not alone. And there are a lot of things that you can do to help you overcome that. And then give yourself grace. It's okay if your house is a mess. It's okay if you don't have some big meal. It is okay if you go out for Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner and sit at a restaurant to eat so that you're not having to do it. It's okay if you go with family. It's okay if you don't go with family. There's no right or wrong way to navigate that overwhelm. It's so unique and individual to you. And so you just do what you can, and you put one foot in front of the other and know that it'll get easier.
Yes. And it is absolutely okay to ask for help. I think, speaking mom to mom, professional to professional, especially, we have that double whammy against us of, well, shouldn't we already know how to do this? Well, if you're a dermatologist, you wouldn't remove your own skin cancer, or I certainly hope you wouldn't. And even if we, you know, I certainly hope you wouldn't, even if we recognize those signs and symptoms, we still, as a mom, oftentimes we put ourselves last. And so we want to make sure everybody else is taken care of, you know, oh, they're covered, that's fine. And I'll just pull myself up by my bootstraps and keep going until you can't anymore. It is absolutely okay. And we encourage you to reach out and ask for help. If you are the one who is needing the help, you can find, we have directories here at the Homeschool Counseling Network for free resources in at least all 50 states. A lot of them are state-based, but we are working on growing our directories to provide those free resources for you. That is the purpose of the Homeschool Counseling Network, to help bridge that gap between homeschooling families and counseling and mental health professionals. But also, you touched on there that if you are the friend or the family member or the loved one who happens to see a change in your loved one, or you happen to know that this is that time of year where, oh, that's right. I have a very, very dear friend who lost her mother right around Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is a very difficult time for her. So I always reach out to her during that time to say, hey, I see you. I'm here. I know you live two states away, but you're not alone. I know your kids are in college now and mine's still at home, but I see you and you're not alone and I'm still here. If you can't remember all of those things, set reminders on your phone to reach out for your friends. Oftentimes, people who need the help the most are going to be the least likely ones to ask for it. There is comfort in community. We were created for that community. So being part of that community, reach out to them first. Don't say, oh, call me if you need me. They're not going to.
They're not
going
to call you.
They're not going to call you because they don't want to bother you. Reach out first, even if it's just, hey, I love you. Hey, I prayed for you today. Hey, I know today's tough. Hey, I'm just going to swing by and leave this on your doorstep. You don't have to, you know, open the door and let me in quite yet if you don't want to. But be that lifeline for them. It literally takes a few seconds to use your thumbs and make that quick little text.
Absolutely. And I do want to add, you know, especially as a Christian, I know for so long, mental health has been kind of taboo subject in church. And a lot of people have not received the type of support that they were looking for. Maybe you went to your pastor and they were like, well, you just need to pray harder, or, you know, you just need a demon cast out of you, or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. If you have experienced kind of that hurt and pain when you've tried to share what you're going through in church, I again want you to know that you're not alone, and there are people and resources out there who will help you through that. And so if you haven't found that at your church, know that there's other churches around. There's this network. There's a lot of resources for you where you see it. And all you have to do is read your Bible. I mean, look at the life of David alone. Look at the life of Saul. Yes. Like, the Bible is full of imperfect people struggling and wrestling with thoughts and feelings and all of these things. And so that wouldn't be in the Bible if it wasn't something we're going to experience in this world. And so just know that you're not, it's not that your faith isn't where it needs to be. We have very real struggles. And I always tell people, you know, I wouldn't tell somebody having an asthma attack to just like get over it. And so if you're dealing with, yeah, if you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with depression, know that you're dealing with something very real for you in that moment. And there is hope and there are resources, and don't struggle alone, because that's not what Jesus wants for you.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You're absolutely right. When we are believers, we are guaranteed trials. We are absolutely guaranteed trials, but we're also guaranteed that we put our faith in Jesus because he overcame the world. So we have nothing to fear from in this world. We go back to him. Nothing is too big to go to God with. Nothing is too small to go to God with. And so, yes, you talked about church wounds. I'll call them, when we've been hurt by the faith. I've been hurt by people in the faith, because you know what? I've been hurt by humans.
And we all fall short.
We all fall short. And so that is where you can give grace and then still set your boundary. And maybe that wasn't the right church for you. And for other believers in the faith, we hurt for fellow believers when they have been hurt by people with good intentions or even with lack of information. It is what it is, because we are all human and we all fall short. But yes, at the Homeschool Counseling Network, we have a directory that is dedicated just to faith-based providers. So yes, you can still find that counselor, that therapist, that who is trained in biblical counseling or in Christian counseling to help you overcome that church wound, or that human wound, really is what it is. But yes, make use of those resources. And Katie, you definitely have been given a gift to do this in ministry, and you share it with the world, both you and your husband, through your beautiful books, your beautiful devotionals, through your course, your family discipleship course, which we can see right over your shoulder, your Family Faith Building Academy. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us and tackling the big subject that we are trying to tackle together, you and I, a topic. We're kind of tackling it from two different ends, but it is still an important, important topic that should no longer be considered taboo. I think we've come a long way in mental health, but I think we still have a long way to go. So even as both of us and members of the homeschooling community, I Thank you so much for pouring back into our community your knowledge and your wisdom and your ministry and the gifts that God has poured into you for helping and minister to others.
Oh, thank you. It's my honor, and I so appreciate what you're doing. We need more of it. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And if you want to find Katie, you can find her beautiful books, her course, and all about her speaking engagements at katiejtrent.com. The J is important. So I will put some links to that in the description box below. But thank you so much for coming on, Katie. And I look forward to working through a merry and bright adventure as part of our Advent calendar this holiday season. So Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless. The Homeschool Counseling Network recognizes the comfort of having a community. We offer the Homeschool Counseling Network Public Resource Sharing Group, a public group on Facebook where individuals, organizations, families, and professionals are welcome to openly share information and resources. Looking to learn from a particular specialist or educator in one of these fields? Reach out and let us know. You can send us your comments and questions to Kimberly Bennett, LPC, at Outlook.com or by commenting in the public Facebook group. With the Homeschool Counseling Podcast, we are working to bridge the gap between professionals and homeschooling families. Are you searching for a professional in your area to help support your family on your homeschooling journey? Visit our website at www.homeschoolcounselingnetwork.com. Look under the Parents tab, where you will find a subcategory, Find a Professional. Here you will find lists of service providers organized by areas of specialty in four main categories: academic advising, counseling and mental health, testing, therapy, and tutoring. We've also added some new categories: professional coaching, and courses and classes. Providers are also categorized by state, population served, and areas of expertise. Credentials and contact information are also included. Also on our website, you'll find a variety of digital media, including blog posts, vlog posts, free downloads, and a searchable free resource library covering a range of topics relevant to homeschooling, education, therapy, and mental health. Content is created by me, Kimberly Bennett, your host, and some professional friends and fellow homeschooling parents that I have met along the way in my family's homeschooling journey. By collaborating with service providers and professionals in the community, strategic partners, donors, sponsors, and advertisers who share our vision and believe in our mission, we endeavor to provide free quality resources to inspire, inform, and improve the lives of homeschooling families. Are you a professional interested in partnering with us? Visit our website and click on the Professionals tab. You can join our network and have your business or practice listed among our multiple resource lists for free. Have a heart for service? Would you like to pour your knowledge into the homeschooling community? Consider contributing content to our free resource library. There are multiple opportunities to participate, including writing guest blog posts, recording a guest blog, or sharing downloads or printables. Looking for a wider reach? Coming soon! HCN will offer paid advertising opportunities. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter at homeschoolcounselingnetwork.com to keep updated with all of our latest developments. Education is a journey that we are not meant to take alone. There is great comfort in community. Until we meet